I'm Bob Franklin. Thanks very much for joining me. This is Like It Is. Today, an encore interview with Joe Taylor, former head football coach at Hampton University in Hampton, Virginia. Coach Taylor has won 5 Black College Football National Championships and was inducted into the College Football Hall of Fame in 2019. Coach Taylor is joining me via telephone, and Coach Taylor is a member of the Black Coaches Association. I know that you are a member of the Black Coaches Association, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. Well, first of all, Coach, what seems to be the problem in terms of, or is there a problem in the lack of Black head coaches on Division I football sidelines?
Well, as you said, I'm on the board of directors for the BCA that's headed by Coach, Floyd Keith, who's a real good friend of mine, who I think is doing an outstanding job. And it has been recognized that equity is not a part of the hiring process as it stands now. There are several initiatives that Mr. Keith has initiated in terms of, you know, the number of openings, in terms of what must be done to recognize at least an interview with an African American. And we really feel that, you know, certainly there are a lot of qualified African Americans out there. And of course, Floyd has instituted also what's called a report card, which they were basically just putting out there, letting the athletes know, the young athletes, the African Americans, that if I can't work there, I shouldn't play there. And all of these initiatives are really geared towards trying to bring equity to the hiring process so that deserving African Americans can walk these sidelines because, you know, it's, we are qualified.
Coach, what has been some of the reasons in terms of Black coaches not being given the opportunity to even apply for some of these positions?
Well, I would start with the idea that it's a situation where, just as I hire coaches around my desk or around my table, you know, you have to get in with, and I hate to say it, but it's the good old boy network. And because it is a trust factor, a lot of times I wouldn't say that it's all a form of bias or prejudice, but it's important that you rub elbows with the right people and find out who are the powers to be. And a lot of times we think it's an NCAA problem. We think that it's an AFCA problem. But, you know, it's the people who put money into these programs. You know, a lot of these boosters around the country, believe me now, you know, they are the ones that really help to make a lot of decisions on these college campuses because of their background, which they might not be as flexible as, you know, they probably at one time or have never been from an athletic background, because we know that a lot of social ills are transformed in you know, the athletic world. And a lot of these people who are calling the shots at these big D1 programs, they are alumni who are giving big money but weren't necessarily athletes, and they just don't understand the socialism. So I think that's a big problem. And then, like I say, you just got to get to know people. You got to get to the clinics. You got to get to the conventions. You got to network. So it's not a one-sided problem. I think African Americans can do a lot themselves if it's their intention, because we do see where some have made it because that's what they want to do. And, you know, where it might be a little bit slow, but we do see change.
And, Coach, I want to talk about, in terms of, well, I want to stay on the reason why you feel we don't have it's sufficient enough African-American coaches at Division I institutions. Do you think it has anything to do with ability? Because certainly
If players can certainly throw football passes and catch players, African-American can catch those passes, is it a problem with leadership, the ability of African-Americans to be good leaders for these potential teams?
Well, Robert, I tell you, if you look on, and of course, being around in a lot of boardrooms, you know, you just get a chance to hear these kind of things. And then I've experienced a lot in these last 30 years, too. You know, all sports are certainly very, very important. We wouldn't want to put a value as to which is more important than the other. But football normally is that cornerstone that kind of sets the tone for your whole athletic department. And that being the case, presidents normally get more involved when it comes to, you know, making sure that that right guy is in place for football more so than you do with the other sports. And that's why maybe you see a larger number of African-Americans in the other sports. And is that right? I'm not saying that's the case. Is it wrong? I'm not saying that's the case. You just look at the facts. And football being that sport that is not just the revenue generation that takes place, but the visibility that goes along with football, that they really look at that particular sport with a lot of scrutiny. Now, that's not to say that there aren't qualified African-Americans who can do it, because it's been proven. And Willingham is just one case at a high-profile place there and has done an outstanding job. And it's going to be others because, you know, the understanding is that if that's what you want to do, there's a certain path that you have to take or pursue. And if some were able to do it, that's not to say that all can't do it. It just got to be if that's what you want to do. But I really think that the doors have now opened to the point that if that's your pursuit, if that's your real goal, if that's what you really want to do in life, you're going to see more and more of it.
Now, you mentioned Coach Willingham at Notre Dame. In all fairness, he wasn't the first choice. I think he was selected only after the candidate was exposed in terms of plagiarizing his vita or his resume. He wasn't the Ty Willingham wasn't the first choice for Notre Dame, but he turned out certainly to post a winning season for the Fighting Irish. I'm interested in knowing how where do you go and find those Ty Willinghams? Do they go to Hampton there, or where do big-time colleges, universities go to find those gems in the rough?
Okay. Well, as I said, some of those initiatives that Floyd Keith has initiated through the BCA in terms of the mentoring program, and, you know, they're always educational settings where you go and network. You know, people who are interested, they know where to put their names. Of course, the BCA has done a fine job of sending out a list, you know, to prospective ADs and presidents. It's out there. Now, once that happens, then it's going to have to be important that the African American, if that's his desire, he must go ahead and apply. We need to understand that it is okay to apply and go for it and do all the things that's necessary. You know, it's important to letter write. It's important to drop a notice, meet somebody. When you get back to your desk, make sure that you pin them a note. All of this, you know, when you look at, say, a Mike Shanahan, who's a good friend of mine at Denver, 17 years of moving around, but writing notes to everybody you meet. You know, you really have to sell yourself. You really have to market yourself. So whereas we know that it's not a overwhelming process, that is no monopoly, but there is a process that if you're really interested, get to know what that process is and then follow it.
As many of our listeners know, and I know you know intimately, when big-time programs and universities are competing for the best high school athlete, they spare no expense in terms of trying to locate that particular athlete to come to their institution because everyone wants to be a winner. And I'm curious to know, do you see those types of efforts or those programs in place at big-time universities to go out and really, you know, canvas the country to find, you know, that particular coach or that particular assistant who may be able to provide a winning program for those institutions?
Well, I would, again, my initial thought would just simply be there has to be a certain level of comfort that these people who are hiring people must feel. And, you know, long before jobs open up, you know, there are ways in which you can submit some vita or see, it's what people say about you when you're not around that to me make the difference. And you have to start building a clientele. You must let people know what your intentions are. Dennis Green probably have done the best job I know in terms of, you know, selling himself, marketing himself. And, you know, you can go out and get an agent. And your agent, because see, what we're talking about here is not just happening, say, African-American versus the majority school. I know friends who at HBCUs came in, say, Donald Hill, for instance, at Morgan State last year was probably their fifth choice. But here he turns around a program that had not had a winning season in 27 seasons, and they go 7-5. He wasn't their first choice. I don't think that really matters. I think, if you work the process hard enough, thoroughly enough, I think that opportunity is going to still come. But I think there's a certain amount of marketing that just must go on within that individual who really is aspiring to get one of those jobs at that minority, because I don't think that those jobs were given to the six African Americans now who head 1A programs. They weren't given to them, but they had a marketing process, and that's why they landed those jobs.
Let me ask you and get your opinion on the role of the NCAA, the National Collegiate Athletic Association. Should they have, what, to your knowledge, as a representative of the BCA, has been the NCAA's role in trying to get the names of qualified African Americans to big time programs?
Well, I know that they work, Miles Brand, and of course, he's the president there now, and of course, you have a lot of different organizations like the BCA, the AFCA, of course, with the Johnny Cochran situation now. The NC2A is putting money forward to finance programs that will allow inspiring young people, you know, middle-aged people, to get into mentoring programs that's funded by the NC2A. They're having what they call coaching excellence seminars, and you know, where you could actually go and you can learn the networking process, how to write the resume, what are they looking for in terms of organization, how to deal with boosters, how to deal with the media. They are putting out funds to educate and train aspiring young people, again, who are aspiring to do this. They are putting out money in programs to educate and train.
My guest today is Coach Joe Taylor. He is a head man at Hampton University. We're talking about the lack of black head football coaches at Division I institutions. Coach Taylor, I'm a longtime sports guy. I really love sports. And I remember many years ago when there were very few black quarterbacks, and there was a stereotype associated with the black quarterback in terms of his ability to think and to be a field general and all of that. And it came down to, it came down to whether or not that coach felt comfortable with that particular quarterback, you know, and it had to be like a father-son type of relationship. My question to you is, do you feel that it's that way on big time Division One at Division One institutions, where that coach is a symbol of that institution, and that president or that athletic director has to have a level of comfort with that particular coach. Do you believe that, any of that?
Well, there has to be a certain level of comfort on any staff, because, you know, this profession, you know, you're in a fishbowl, and, you know, you're so visible, and it doesn't take much to have a program going in the right direction and then for it to falter because of some misbehavior or bad decision-making. But going back to what you were saying early on, what they were saying where African-Americans, you know, could not make good quarterbacks. Well, see, the sociology of coaching came into play because at one time offensive linemen could not be African-Americans because of their inability to think. But you put the defensive linemen, which were African-Americans, and with that speed and strength, was running past those smart, African offensive linemen, so you had to go and get some. The defensive backfield at one point was lead to, you know, a thinking area again, so it had to be non-African-American. But you go back on the other side and you get the wide receiver, who was African-American, running past that smart non-African-American. Now they got to go and find some defensive backs who are African-American. So then you look at the quarterback who they said could not play because it's a thinking man segment or area again. But you got those defensive linemen running past the, you know, fast-thinking non-African offensive linemen and sacking, you know, that smart, you know, non-African quarterback, so they had to change that up. So we have really revolutionized the thinking simply because we have shown that we have the capacity. Since inception, we've always been told that we couldn't do certain things, but I just feel good about those of us who don't feel that way, who did not accept that, or who did not believe what they read and just broke through and are doing tremendous things. And that's at the playing level. But also, like I said, the few African-Americans who are now in key positions in the NFL, in the main offices of the NFL, coaching on the sideline. We have a lot of defensive and offensive coordinators in the NFL. Even though we don't have a lot of head coaches in D1, we have a lot of coordinators in D1. This thing is about to erupt, and I just think that any young man who is aspiring to be a coordinator, a head coach at the D1, at the NFL level, please do not be disturbed. Please do not get turned around or get disencouraged. Keep your motivation. Keep working. Because just as some have, I still believe that more will.
Let me get your input on from the BCAA's perspective. What conference out there, the SEC, the Mid-American, the ACC, has a better track record of hiring and promoting African-Americans to the upper levels of the athletic administration, be it head coach or and maybe even athletic director? What conferences out there do a better job than others?
Boy, and that's a real tough question, because you can't just say right off it's the Big Ten. You can't say it's the SEC. You can't say it's the ACC. It's probably more coordinators, believe it or not. You know, of course, ACC has had a head coach at Wake Forest at one time, but I don't know if any of them, because usually it's the, of course, Notre Dame is a high profile, but it's not a conference. When you look at New Mexico State or, the places where we are, they're still not in the Big 12. They have coordinators in the Big 12. They have coordinators in the Big 10. And of course, just talking about my good friend that just took over the defensive coordinator down at Florida, that was at South Carolina this past year, and I can't even call his name right now, but we're just talking about him just yesterday. We are sprinkled, but to say which conference has taken the lead, I don't know if anyone really has. You know, they all kind of might have a guy here or there, but I don't know if any have just stood up and said, you know, we're going to change this without the effort of those who really want it, who really want to do it. So, but BCA is more or less looking at, when they talk about that report card, they're telling young people to look at all conferences. And not just be concerned about, the, you know, maybe the SEC or the ACC, but look at the school that's recruiting you. Indiana, you know, had several coordinators on their staff a couple of years ago under Cam Cameron. You know, R.C. Slocum at Texas A&M had African-American coordinators. And now you look at Zook. Down, you know, in the SEC. So we do have some, but the bottom line is the young man has to look at each school individually. And when he visit, he needs to look at the compilation of the staff to see whether or not what kind of feeling exists at that particular school.
But we do know how many African-American head football coaches there are at Division One institutions, correct? And I think you said six?
Yeah, right at six, because, you know, it moves back and forth, you know. Cause every time you – just like we lost Bobby Williams at Michigan State, you know. So when you get another one hired out at UCLA, well, you really didn't move forward because you lose one, but you gain one. So there is no movement, really, because the numbers stay the same.
So you see the glass – half full as opposed to half empty.
Exactly.
Let me ask you about the role of women on at women head football, head coaches on Division I level, on the Division I level. Are you comfortable with the number of African American women being hired as head coaches at Division I universities?
Well, I just still think that there's always room for improvement. I'm just not always one-sided in terms of what is creating the problem. We know, you know, going back to 200 years ago of slavery, that it's always it's going to be some oppression and suppression going on. But again, we look back at the movement from slavery. You know, you're always going to have, you know, some persons in the society that just don't believe in walls, just don't believe in ceilings, and they just break through, and they do what they have to do to break through. I just think, again, you're probably going to find more female African-Americans at the D1 in basketball, and some of that has to do with what we said earlier about where does that particular sport fall on that ladder in terms of, you know, the wrong that it, you know, goes to? Because we go back to Syracuse, outstanding lady, a young lady there, and I can't call her name right now, but does a fine job. And they are probably, on a percentage basis, a few more female African-Americans at D1 than, again, the African-American male in football. But I do think that the avenues are there. Now, nobody says it's going to be easy. You know, and sometimes it's tougher than others. It all depends on, you know, what you're talking about, you know. I think sometimes when you go Midwest out to the Rockies, I think you find less African-Americans, period. Well, further west, down south, you know, to me, the geographics has something to do with it. But we understand that there are some problems, but I just think that I just don't want to see any young African male or female discouraged about trying to overthrow or trying to change the image. I just want to keep encouraging that we work at it, because Just as some have, I just believe that others can.
This has been an encore interview with former Hampton University head football coach Joe Taylor. Part two of our interview resumes next time. I'm Bob Franklin. I'll be back next week with 30 more minutes of good conversation on another edition of Like It Is.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.